No doubt, every one of you here this morning has memories of those times that as a child you were outside playing and you were called with those familiar words, "Time to eat! Come in, wash your hands, and come to the table." How many of you, like I, came in from playing and bypassed washing my hands and sat down at the table, only to have my mother look and say, "Bruce, you haven't washed your hands. You need to go and wash your hands." We're coming today to the Lord's table. We'll later on sing from the 24th Psalm. And it's in that 24th Psalm, you know it as well as I do, where we sing, "Lord, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place?" And you know the answer as well as I. We sing it time and time again, often when we have the Lord's Supper. He who has, what? Clean hands. We're coming to eat. Are our hands clean? So you see, the title of this morning's message is True Cleansing. And I direct our attention to the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 16 is there on page 6 or 765 in the Bible there that's provided. And if you want to read along, follow along as I read, you'll find verse 16, and I'll be reading through verse 38. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 16 through 38. I remind us again, We're privileged to listen to God speaking to us as we read these words. Hear what He has to say. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they have gone out of His land. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. And you will remember your evil ways and your evil deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted desolate, the ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on the feast days, so shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God stands forever. Amen. We must remember Ezekiel, Yahweh's prophet, was with the exiled people of God in Babylon when Yahweh told him to write this book. And we must also remember why the people of God are in exile in Babylon. In verses 16 through 21, we're told, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds, verse 17b. And in order to appreciate the graphic illustration of uncleanness Yahweh uses, we must remember that throughout the Old Testament there are primarily two kinds of people. There are those people who are clean, and there are those people who are unclean. There are those people who are sacred, set apart, sanctified. And those who are profane. And most of us will remember those distinctions that we find in the book of Leviticus between animals that are clean and animals that are unclean. And we'll remember that the clean animals, they were the ones, and only the clean animals were allowed to be offered as sacrifices to the Lord. Our text speaks about uncleanness with respect to bodily fluids. In Leviticus 15, we have the account of uncleanness relative to bodily fluids in men and in women. Unclean men, unclean women were not permitted to worship the Lord until the required regulation for becoming clean was met. And I might say as an aside, this is one of the basis upon which we in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America understand the responsibility that we have as elders to the best of our ability to understand that those who come to this table have clean hands. For indeed, we who gather together, supposedly gather together as those who have, by the grace of God, washed our hands. So we who are inside are the clean, and they who are outside are the unclean. And so the distinction you see is made. As the elders of a congregation hear the credible profession of faith of those who, by the grace of God, have come to repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of the unified body visible of Christ. And so we say those who have indeed made a credible profession of faith and become united with the Reformed Presbyterian Church and are in good standing are welcome to come. But we don't limit it to only RPs, do we? We recognize that there are others at other bodies throughout the United States who are clean as they worship together, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we simply ask that those who are members of the true branch of Christ's church, as they gather together to worship with us on a day that we have the Lord's Supper, that they meet with the elders and affirm to the elders that credible profession of faith that they have, that they indeed have been baptized and have united with the true branch of Christ's church. They're clean. They're not unclean. True cleansing. And so our friends, when they come to our house to eat, right, they wash their hands before they come to the table just like we do. They obey the house rules when they're guests in the house. We're barred from the table until our hands are clean. And so it is with the house of Israel. Hands must be clean, or they were not permitted to eat, if we keep the illustration. Yahweh is the God who called the house of Israel unto himself, gave them the promised land, and called them to keep their hands washed when it was time to eat. You understand the analogy. Only the clean were permitted household privileges within the promised land. Now, why did Ezekiel and the house of Israel go into exile? They became unclean. And God had to remove them from his presence, as he did the wicked, as he did the unclean in the day of Noah, as he did the wicked and the unclean in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But this creates a problem. It creates a problem for the Lord, this covenant people are not living in the land that he promised. This covenant people are not living in the land that he promised. And so this caused the nations around to wonder just how powerful Yahweh is. We're told that's the honor of Yahweh's name which causes him to do what we're told he will do in verses 22 through 38. And we can praise the Lord for his concern that his name would be glorified throughout all of his creation. Yahweh promised to be Israel's God, and he will be faithful to his promise. You see, in this case, the salvation of these people is not rooted in his love for them primarily. And we might say that his salvation of you and of me is not primarily rooted in his love, but it's rooted in his holiness, his holiness. Listen again to verses 22 and 23. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. What does Yahweh do? First, he saves Israel. He saves Israel. By saves Israel, I mean, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into my own land. Do you remember how Cyrus is raised up as the ruler of Persia? And he conquered Babylon. And it was his policy to send the exiled house of Israel, any captive people, back to their home land. And clearly, as God's word is remembered through Isaiah, as the people of God come back, whose name is honored? When Cyrus sends them home, God said it. That settles it. It happened. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. He saves Israel. Second, He sprinkles Israel. That's what we read in verse 25, isn't it? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Over and over and over again in the old administration, the covenant of grace, water is that symbol of cleansing, isn't it? When we come in from playing outside, what do? We wash our hands in soap and water. We rinse them with that water. I think it's worth noting that they're sprinkled by water to be made clean. They're not immersed in water. To be made clean. It shouldn't surprise us that the mode of baptism that's most embraced by those who understand covenant theology is pouring. Rinse your hands by pouring the water. Sprinkling. Sprinkling. Oh, indeed, immersion is a way of demonstrating that. But I'm hard-pressed to find it being the primary mode to represent cleansing. The cleansing of the people of God. Notice, the house of Israel is not washing their own hands. He sprinkles them. Yahweh cleans us. We don't clean ourselves. He saves. He sprinkles. Oh, and He sanctifies. Verse 28. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And the proof of their sanctification is found there in verses 29b and 30. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I will bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. The image of clean and unclean, or sacred and profane, comes into focus once again with the concept of sanctification. Only those who are clean may dwell in the presence of the Lord. To be in the land is to have Yahweh as one's God. Those outside in the nations of the world are unclean, they're profane. Those set apart unto Yahweh, they have the abundance of food, productive land, and no famine. And finally, He spiritualizes Israel. He spiritualizes Israel. Yes, I had to come up with an S word. If He saves and He sprinkles and He sanctifies, He spiritualizes. Yes, spiritualizes. Think for a moment with me about a familiar jingle that Ian Duguid offers in his commentary on Ezekiel. Bear with me. He's giving us the jingle. Okay, what do we do with a drunken sailor? What do we do with a drunken sailor? We put him in a longboat until he sobers up. That's a solution. We put him beside the drain hole at the side of the deck and hose him all over is another solution. We have him join Alcoholics Anonymous or enlist in a solid 12-step program with other addicts. Perhaps Weight Watchers or other programs designed to help people with eating difficulties. Or enrollment in counseling sessions designed to alter behavioral difficulties. Certainly all of these have various levels of success. At the end of the day, it's the same thing as taking a pig out of a mud puddle, washing it all up, putting it on a dry, fresh bread of straw, and saying, "Stay clean now." And what happens? The pig finds a bucket or some container of water, spills it over, and makes mud. Why? Because a pig is a pig is a pig. So it is with the house of Israel. And so it is with every one of us here this morning. And how many of us have committed ourselves to all kinds of ways of cleaning up? And we've experienced some measures of success. But we're not just sick. In need of a cure. We're in need of purification. We're in need of true cleansing. We're in need of a heart transplant. Look at verses 26 and 27. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." It takes radical surgery. A new heart and fresh air. A new spirit. Here's the question. Did Israel remain in the land after Cyrus sent them home? Physical Israel continued dirtying their hands. However, instead of washing them, they allowed them to stay dirty. Israel did not remain faithful in the land, did they? No. So how is Yahweh's name to be honored? The true Israel of the Lord had to come. The true Israel of the Lord had to come, and that is Jesus. Born of the Virgin Mary. And she remained a virgin, humanly speaking, until after Jesus was birthed. Jesus is the one who did not need to wash his hands every time he came into the presence of the Lord, unto the table of the Lord, to which we'll be coming in a bit. Jesus is the one who was sprinkled with water by John the Baptizer. Not because Jesus was filthy and needed to be cleansed. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. People were commanded to be baptized. Therefore, Jesus, in obedience, is baptized. Jesus, rather than enjoying the finest food of the land, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, only to be tempted afterwards. This too was for righteousness' sake and the honor of the covenant-keeping God. Jesus defeated the tempter, the serpent of old, by keeping the word of God. That was his food, remember? His food was to do the will of his Father. Obedience was his feast. And he never faced a famine. Now we must go back and look again at what Yahweh did for Israel, and we will see that this is a message for present day Israel, for you and for me, the Israel of God. Do you notice the details of Yahweh's salvation of Israel? He did not gather them from the exile in Babylon alone. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Each one of us here this morning who has heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, we are the Israel of God. Remember the story of a little boy who went to the army officer who had all of the sheep of the community impounded into one large pen. The conquering army taking the animals away from the villagers and putting them together in that pen. And the little boy comes up to the officer and says, sir, my mother and I need those 6 sheep that you took from us. May we please have them back? They're our only means of survival. He laughs and says, sure, you may have your 6 sheep. You remember the story. He goes over by the gate of the sheepfold and he begins to whistle. And he whistles. And he whistles. And there's movement there's movement in those thousands of sheep. And pretty soon, six sheep make their way to the gate. And the gate is open, and as he whistles one more time, those six sheep come out. And they stand by the little boy. Each and every one of us here this morning who knows true cleansing have heard the voice of the shepherd. And we've come out. We've come out of the unclean. And he's called us to himself. And we're here not simply because we're loved, but we're here because true cleansing of each and every one of us is for the holiness of our covenant-keeping God. Hallowed be your name. The chief end of man is what? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We've heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Holy Spirit has taken that heart of stone out and given us the heart of flesh. The spirit of death is now the spirit of life. Eternal life. We who are saved, we who are sprinkled, we who are sanctified, we who are spiritualized, he says to us, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." Our rest is in Him whose sacrificial death is once again set before us as we take this bread and take this cup in remembrance of what He's done until He comes. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, that we might enjoy the promised land, wherein righteousness dwells, the new heaven and the new earth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, once again we're reminded that our true cleansing is the result of your grace for your glory and for our subsequent living in the righteousness of your Son, that we might show forth the holiness of your name as those who have been set apart and called saints in the letters written in the new administration of the covenant to us. Thank you for the true cleansing that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Amen.